O Lord, our Maker, our Redeemer, our Comforter, we are gathered in your presence to hear your holy word. We ask you now to open our hearts so that through the preaching of your word we may be brought to repent of our sins, to believe on Jesus in life and in death, and to grow day by day in grace and holiness. Hear us for Christ's sake. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. We're reminded that we stand at all times in the presence of God, who created us to love and serve Him as His dear children. But we have disobeyed Him and deserve only His wrath and punishment. Therefore, let us confess our sins to Him and plead for His mercy. Merciful Father in heaven, I am altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways I have sinned against you and do not deserve to be called your child. But trusting in Jesus, my Savior, I pray, have mercy on me according to your unfailing love. Cleanse me from my sin and take away my guilt. God, our Heavenly Father, has forgiven all your sins. By the perfect life and innocent death of our Lord Jesus Christ, He has removed your guilt forever. You are His own dear child. May God give you strength to live according to His will. Amen.
Glory to God, we give you thanks and praise.
us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we pray that your grace, your undeserved love, may always precede and follow after us, that we, walking according to you, the new man, may continually be given to those works which please you. As we ask through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our first scripture reading for this, the 22nd Sunday after Pentecost, is found in the book of Numbers, the 23rd chapter, beginning there with the 11th verse. This account, this entire account in Numbers 23 is fascinating. It's the account of Balaam, the king who hired Balaam to curse the children of Israel as they came through his country of Moab. And yet, as you probably recall, Balaam was commanded by God to bless instead of curse. Now, there's many interesting facts and aspects to this account, including the ability of Balaam's donkey to speak. We focus on one in particular this morning, and that is the unchangeable, absolutely truthful nature of our God, who cannot lie and cannot go back on his word. And Balak said to Balaam, "What have you done to me? I took you to curse my enemies, and behold, you have done nothing but bless them." And he answered and said, "Must I not take care to speak what the Lord puts in my mouth?" And Balak said to him, "Please, come with me to another place from which you may see them. You shall see only a fraction of them and shall not see them all. Then curse them for me from there." And he took him to the field of Zophim, to the top of Pisgah, and built 7 offers and offered a bull and a ram on each altar. Balaam said to Balak, "Stand here beside your burnt offering while I meet the Lord over there." And the Lord met Balaam and put a word in his mouth and said, "Return to Balak, and thus shall you speak." And he came to him, and behold, he was standing beside his burnt offering, and the princes of Moab with him. And Balak said to him, "What has the Lord spoken?" And Balaam took up his discourse and said, "Rise, Balak, and hear. Give ear to me, O son of Zippor. God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should change his mind. Has he said, and will he not do it? Or has he spoken, and he will not fulfill it? Behold, I received a command to bless. He has blessed, and I cannot revoke it." Here ends our first scripture reading. Our psalm for this morning we read responsively is Psalm 96, as found printed on supplement page 26. Please rise. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Declare his glory among the nations. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Let the heavens rejoice and let the earth be glad. Let the field be joyful and all that is in it. For he is coming, for he is coming to judge the earth. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Our second reading is found in the book of Hebrews, the 13th chapter, beginning there with the first verse, and you note here again God's own word that he himself does not change. He cannot lie. He cannot go back on what he said. He is in all ways, therefore, to be trusted. Let brotherly love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember those who are in prison, as though in prison with them, and those who are mistreated, since you yourself are in the body. Let marriage be held in honor among all, and let the marriage bed be undefiled, for God will judge the sexually immoral and adulterous. Keep your life free from love of money, and be content with what you have. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me? Remember your leaders who have spoken to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Do not be led away by diverse and strange teachings, for it is good for the heart to be strengthened by grace, not by foods which have not benefited those devoted to them. Here ends our scripture readings. Blessed are they who hear the word of God and treasure it. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Glory be to God alone.
Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thanksgiving in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Amen. Dear fellow Christians, I know I say a lot of things that you know already, but shame on us if we aren't reminded and bear in mind some of these things that may sound obvious. So I bring one to your attention first this morning, that we live in a treacherous, shifting, unstable world. You know that, of course. The evidence is all around you. You know that on earth, anything connected with man is unstable, unreliable, because human beings always have the potential for failure. Again, God help us if we fail to remember that in our everyday walk, in our dealings with each other, with the world, whatever. That's why we need that special place that we can go to, flee to regularly, that will center us, that will stabilize us, that will return us to something that we know does not change, that's not shifting. We're in this boat, as if you've ever been in a boat on the ocean, this boat that's pitching and rocking, and we need that sure point on the horizon to focus us and to give us balance. And we have that, don't we, in God's word. That the hymn writer put it so well, swift to its close ebbs out life's little day. Earth's joys grow dim, its glories pass away. Change and decay in all around I see. O thou who changest not, abide with me. That one sure point of reference is now and always will be our God and his revealed word and will. That's such a comfort. That's such a blessing when we actually stop to realize how uncertain everything else is, which is why we return to that word every Sunday here. That's why we are supposed to return to it in our daily devotions, because again, it centers us, it stabilizes us. It reminds us what is true and what is false. And so we turn again to that word this morning as God's sure witness to us. The text that will form the basis of our study is found in the book of James, the first chapter, beginning there with the 17th verse. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Know this, my brothers. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. This is God's word, perfect, holy, unchanging, without error. That our God would guide and direct us again this morning through this, his perfect, unchanging, holy word, we pray. Sanctify us by your truth, O Lord. Your word is truth. Amen. I wonder if any of you remember the 2000 Olympic Games in Sydney, Australia. One thing in particular I remember from that, I know some of you weren't even born then, but I remembered as if it were yesterday, because in the gymnastics competition, back when I used to watch the Olympics, in the gymnastics competition, the best gymnasts, female gymnasts in the world, were crashing and burning spectacularly on the vault. You know, the event where they run down the thing and then they do these flips and turn about 700 times in the air and they push off of what's called the vault. And they do another 700 flips and land. And one after another was just crashing and burning, and some of the wrecks were spectacular. They would be spinning in the air and they'd come down and land flat with their whole body on the mat. And they'd get up and shake their heads, and these tough little kids go back and do it again. And no one could figure out what in the world is going on. Why are all these girls failing? Until one competitor went up to her coach and said, "I don't think the vault is right. Something's wrong with it." And they measured it, and to everyone's consternation, inexplicably, it was mounted 2 inches lower than what they were used to. They had no point of reference, and that threw everything else off. Now, there was two interesting lessons to learn from that stuck with me and stayed with me till today. The first is how desperately we need that sure, certain point of reference, something that we can rely on, which is, of course, God's Word. There was another lesson that I took away from that. Once they discovered the problem, of course they went back and gave all of those competitors another chance to redo that if they wanted to. And most of them, if you watch video of it, you'll know why they wanted to do it over. It wasn't pretty. Those who kept on in their later events, because the meet went on and they competed, those who continued to do their best did well, because even though they thought, "Well, I'm out of contention because I got a whatever on the vault," they continued to struggle, to strive, to do their best, and they did well because they could come back and redo it. There were a couple, and I remember one in particular, the Russian, who gave up, and you could see that. She wanted a medal, and she knew she was out of contention, or she thought she was, and she just gave up and just did a half-hearted effort and then was absolutely crushed when she learned that she could have had a do-over and failed. So which one are you? Which type are you? Are you the kind that fails and gives up? Or are you the kind of Christian that keeps putting in that effort, knowing that you're never going to get to perfect because you already failed? So those are the two lessons, and they bring us to our text for this morning. And we're going to study this text on the basis of another track and field, well, I guess gymnastics isn't track and field, another sporting thing. Those familiar three phrases that every racer hears. On your mark, get set, go. Our text begins here. "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Of his will, his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures." Of his creatures. That's your mark. That's your on your mark, isn't it? That's our sure point of reference. The stark contrast here between God and man could not be more pronounced. The greatest contrast, of course, is the perfect consistency of our God compared to the appalling inconsistency of man. Look at those words again, or just, you can look on the back of the bulletin or bring them to mind directly or by inference. These words describe God in terms of always and every. And I love those always and every because it leaves no wiggle room. Our God is always good, always perfect, always generous. He is the giver of every good gift. Our God is always the same and always desires our salvation. He is always holy, always pure. Well, that's God. Try it on yourself. Are you any of those things? Are we any of them? Are we good? Holy? We fail miserably every time. We've soiled ourselves with the same filth of the world. We know we're not supposed to, unlike the world, I guess, but we do anyway. We've soiled ourselves with the same filth that the world uses, does, takes part in. We've allowed our minds to be perverted and twisted, to a certain extent at least, by what comes out of our screens, big or little, even though we know better. And the results are evident, aren't they? The gag reflex that we're supposed to have as Christians when we see or are confronted by sin is no longer there. It's been replaced by a yawn. Yeah, we see it. Yeah, that's not good, but oh well. That's evidence of a deterioration. It's evidence that we're not exactly where we're supposed to be, not even close. That's why this on your mark of our text is so important. That's why it relies not on anything other than God and His Word. Because that never deteriorates. That never gets ambiguous or questionable in any way. Everything else is shifting. Everything else is uncertain. Our text assures us that that's not the case with our God. We have a God who never changes, with whom, according to our text, there is no variation or shadow due to change. He is the same one who of His own will brought us forth by the word of truth. Understand well these words. Make certain you grasp their significance. Because we do live in a world where everything seems to change and more and more rapidly. Where what was taken for granted one moment is not the next. Where you can't rely on anything. Obviously the poster child is, we don't even know, the world doesn't even know anymore how many genders there are. But not so with God's word. Which is why we flee for refuge to that word daily. Because daily we're assaulted by the world's ever-changing ideas. And we'll get sucked into that. We'll get drawn down into that morass, that mixed up confusion of right and wrong, if we don't regularly go back to that point of reference. Only our God is that which does not change. So that's our mark. That's that first part. That's where we go. It's that solid, unchanging anchor. So what's the next thing that a runner hears, a sprinter hears? Get set. It self-evident, is it? You've watched races. You know that they have those precisely placed starting blocks. And if you've seen, they all have, they're adjustable, so they put them exactly right. That's what God's word is. It's set exactly right. And that's runners to your marks. And we get to that word of God, and it's exactly right. But then, obviously, you have to get set. How does that relate to us? Well, even the godless fuss over God's word, don't they? I mean, they use it for different purposes. They use it as the butt of jokes. It's always a good source for that. Which is, by the way, what God told us not to do, or what we pray when we say, "Hallowed be thy name." The name of God is everything he's told us in his word. His titles, his will, the Bible. Hallowed means to set it apart and keep it holy. You don't joke about, you don't ridicule what you've set apart as holy. So the world continues to fuss with God's word, to mess with it. They rummage around in it in an attempt now to try to justify their preconceived notions, now to try to find fault with it, or now to try to ridicule people who actually believe what it says. But it doesn't ever set their hearts. It doesn't give direction to their lives. By God's grace, you not only recognize your God and his word as your mark, you are set in Jesus Christ, because that's the heart and soul of every part of God's word. We don't just go there. It's not just a moralizing book. It's not a golden rule book only. It's there to teach us about how we can escape this life, how we can survive it and join our God forever in eternity. Everything then, Old and New Testament, points to Jesus Christ and him crucified. And that's how you are set. You went to that mark, that sure source, and there you were taught about Jesus. There the Holy Spirit brought you to faith in him as your Savior. And he didn't, in that book, tell you what you have to do. That's not what set means. That's not faith in Christ. He told you instead what Jesus already did for you, in your place, as your substitute. That's why set, the Christian faith, doesn't refer to, and that sure source of guidance isn't about, this is what you now have to do. It's about, this is what Jesus has done for you. You failed. In fact, you failed before you were born. You were born sinful. That which is born of sinful flesh is sinful flesh. And then, again, if you're starting to feel like that's unfair, you sin constantly since then. Therefore, there is nothing you can do to achieve holiness by your actions. God, recognizing that, sent his Son, who did achieve perfection. He lived that perfect life. And then because we had nothing to make up for our sin, God said, I will punish my Son in your stead. He will bring that perfect life to the cross, offer it there as a payment for sin, and that's what Jesus did. Gone, forgiven, forgotten all of your sins through faith in Jesus. And again, I don't think we can repeat it too often. That's what makes the true Christian faith different. It's the only one that tells us your salvation has been earned for you. It's yours simply when you believe it's true. Everything else demands. This is what you have to do to get to Nirvana or Valhalla or heaven or whatever else they call it. That's how you're set. You've been forgiven. You know that. Through faith in Jesus, your sins have been separated as far as the east is from the west. God says, I drown them in the depths of the sea. I remember them no more. So So every time we go to that mark, we're reminded that we're set for this life and the one that is to come. Now ask yourself this question. So we've got our mark, we're set. How many of you would enjoy watching a race or participating in one if that's all you did? If that's all that happened? It'd almost be comical. On your marks, get set, nothing. I don't think the attendance would be all that good. It's just silly. Who would ever want to watch that, let alone participate? I think our God views us when we stop at set. Well, we found our sure point of reference, our mark. We're set now through faith in Jesus. We're good for this life and for the life that is to come. But our text talks about a go, doesn't it? Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to anger, slow to speak, slow to anger. This is part of the go, isn't it? For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. This is talking about our life going forward. We're set in Christ by the power of word. He's brought us to faith. So we are in Christ. We're his children, heirs of eternal life. But there is now what comes next. And what comes next always is go. Therefore, part of the go, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. That's where we hear the go clearly, isn't it? In that last sentence. Be doers of the word and not hearers only. Promises that are not kept are mindless chatter. Words that are not heard and heeded are just words of benefit to no one. Our God has called us to a living and active faith, meaning he didn't just bring us to faith so that we could remain where we were, but wherever we do go, we go as God's ambassadors. And the book of James gives us all this practical advice about our mouths, our speech, our conduct. All of this plays a role. All of this others see. So the go is not just go and be a witness. In other words, go and talk to people about Jesus. It's included, obviously. But it's also whatever you do, whether you eat or drink, do all to the glory of God. Our entire lives are supposed to be part of the go, where we speak to the world with our actions, with the words that we choose, with the message that we bring, with the way we dress. There is no part of our life that isn't part of, supposed to be part of, the go. Go back to those 2000 Olympic Games for just a moment. How would you feel if you were one of those athletes who gave up because you failed on that maladjusted vault? I have no doubt that it haunts those still today who did so. But apply that to yourself. You failed. I failed miserably in the past. How is that supposed to affect you going forward? The answer is, it's not. Other than to recognize with thanksgiving that your Savior paid for all of those failures. But we can apply the lessons of those who gave up to ourselves. That doesn't mean we give up because we're not perfect. Of course we're not perfect. But Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. So part of the go is to learn from those failures. Of course, struggle not to repeat them, but not to get discouraged by them. Why would we do that when our God has told us in that sure, certain word, as God who cannot lie, who's told us, I've declared that that sin is paid for, it's forgiven, it's gone. I don't remember it anymore. Because I already punished my son for that sin, that failure. The part of the go, again, is to put behind the past the failures. To move forward as God's child, redeemed, forgiven. Don't refuse the urging of the Holy Spirit as you go. Listen to that conscience that's fine-tuned by that sure, certain word of God. Listen to it when it speaks to you, as it will when you go to him in his word and he speaks to you from there. Listen to that conscience as you go. Let it guide you. Let it turn you away from where you know you're not supposed to go, and to where you are supposed to. And then do it with the joy and thanksgiving that your failures are gone. And without that burden that you have to somehow now make up for them. Because that just will liberate us to live lives of thanksgiving to our God for the completed salvation that is ours. We have our God-appointed starting point. We are set for life and life eternal through faith in Jesus Christ. Now go, be actual doers of the word and not hearers only, and serve the Lord with joy. Amen. Please rise. And the peace of God shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please rise. Lord God, our kind, our benevolent Father, we thank and praise you for the countless undeserved favors you continually shower on us. We've been reminded this morning that every good gift and every perfect gift is from you. It is surely only by your grace that we who are by nature sinful, that we were those who were even your enemies, can stand now fully acceptable in your sight. It pleased you to seek us, lost sinners, when we sought you not, and to send your Son to be our Savior. We know now that our own good works can do nothing for us. It is your grace, your undeserved love, that makes us righteous through the blood of Christ. Your grace sent the Holy Spirit into our hearts with the gospel message of forgiveness and caused us to believe it to the salvation of our souls. In your great love for us lost sinners, you are truly merciful to us. Help us to acknowledge and appreciate your gracious salvation. We thank you for your word, that sure, certain source of truth and comfort. Give us whatever is necessary. Clear from our lives all the distractions, whatever is needed, so that we return to that word regularly and there be encouraged, comforted, strengthened, made stable. And then fill our hearts with a living faith that cannot be broken, with a pure love for you that remains untainted by the present evil world. Keep us from error. Let not the world's perversion creep into our hearts, but through constant exposure to your word, guide, direct, and protect each heart. And then help us, give us energy and zeal, determination to go forward in whatever our calling is, life, as witnesses to you, witnesses with our lives, with our speech, with every aspect of our being, that others may see and wonder, and then open our mouths to reveal to them what we have been taught, that you are our God and that Jesus is our Savior. Send your Holy Spirit into the world. We pray especially this morning that you would be with those who are suffering in any way. Be with, we pray, especially Pastor Timothy Daub as he continues to recover from an unknown ailment that severely crippled and threatened his life. Return him and Pastor Oman safely home, and then give him full and complete recovery, we pray. Be with all who are hurting or sick. We know to expect hard times in this sin-broken world, and yet you invite us to come to you with our needs, and so we bring them to you in our hearts. Be with those that we love. Be with those that we are trying to reach with the word. Open their ears to hear, and by your Spirit cause them to believe. These things we ask, as always comforted, that you do indeed see and hear us. Though you are God, immortal in heaven, you have agreed to hear the prayers of your children. Hear us then finally as we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.